ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent. Sounds great.
All right, we're going to get started. I know a lot of folks are still walking, since this is like on the other side of town. For those that are from Boston, town, yes. So we're going to try to do this in an abbreviated version. We know everybody's on a tight schedule. Some folks want to get out of here and go home. So we're going to try to keep this to a 30-minute session. We'll stick around for a few minutes afterwards. We'll answer questions, but we wanted to kick this off. So this breakout is about inclusive leadership. And obviously, as a competitive advantage, the panel. What we're going to do is have the panel take a couple minutes to talk about themselves, with what they do, where they're from, and why IND is important to them. But more importantly, we want to make sure you, as the audience, ask questions. We have a great panel here. We're all from Cisco. We're a sponsor. We're passionate inside of Cisco around inclusion and diversity. We sponsor all the women's conferences around the country, so we're excited about this one. This is my second time here. Last year I was in the audience, and then I was asked if I could participate further, and I took the advantage to do that. So my name is Rob Roser. I've been at Cisco 15 years, and I am passionate about the topic of women and having an advantage. So what I want to do is pass it over to the panel, have them take 2 minutes each, name where they're from, what they do, and then go into what's important to you from an IND perspective.
Okay, I'll start. Thanks, Rob. Hi, my name's Lindley Noviello. I'm a senior director at Cisco. I cover the Enterprise East Services sales team. I've been at Cisco, it will be 18 years coming up this January. Why IND is important to me? As a leader, you see when there is diversity and inclusion that's alive and well within your organization, you see that it fuels innovation. You see that it improves productivity, and you see your employee engagement goes through the roof. And at the end of the day, all of that means is it maximizes results. It maximizes your team's results, the company's results, the organization's results. So I'm very passionate about it. I am very passionate about creating environments that are inclusive and collaborative. When you're in team environments, there are folks from different backgrounds, have different experiences, different genders, different ethnicity. Everyone comes to the table with different viewpoints, strengths, skills, talent, experiences. I think as a leader, one of my key responsibilities is to make sure we as a team are tapping into that diversity and making sure that folks are included in producing the best optimal outcome.
Thanks, Lindley. Ronnie?
Hi, everyone. I'm Ronnie Hargrove. I am a director responsible for delivering our services to our federal customers. I'm based out of Herndon, Virginia, close to the D.C. area. I started in Cisco in 1993 as a systems engineer, and my first meeting with the SE organization, I see a couple of men in the room surrounded by women. I was the only woman in the room surrounded by 100 men. And 2 years later, when I was promoted to manager, Cisco was growing like gangbusters. I once again was the only woman surrounded by 100 men. Inclusion and diversity has meant a great deal to me personally and professionally. When Cisco first started talking about inclusion and diversity and wanting us to set goals around inclusion and diversity, my first reaction was, I'm here, I don't need to do anything else. Look at me. And over time, I came to understand that it wasn't just about my presence, it was about how I interacted. And over time, with the help of Cisco and the education that they provide in this area, I came to understand that inclusion and diversity was much broader than just the gender discussion. There are all types of aspects involved in inclusion and diversity. There's culture, there are different ways of working, there are different types of people. And in order for us to get the most out of our organization, we need to learn as leaders how we harness everyone's ideas, not just the people who speak the loudest. So over the past couple of years, as I've come to understand inclusion and diversity better, I have developed a real passion for it, both for how it's benefited me personally and how I've seen it help the organization to grow.
Thanks, Ronnie. Seth?
Hi, I'm Seth Siegel. I'm the Vice President of Cisco Consulting Services in the Americas, so from Tierra del Fuego to the Northwest Province and everything in between. I joined Cisco 16 weeks ago and previously served in a number of leadership positions at some fairly large management consulting firms. The reason why IND is just vital to me and vital to our industry is because we do better when we hire people that don't think like us, that don't look like us, that don't have backgrounds like us. When you would look at someone like me, you'd say, well, why would you be an IND champion? And the simple fact of the matter is that I want to be able to provide opportunities, and that Cisco does, for people that have any background, whether it's gender diversity, and I'm very proud of the fact that 65% of my direct reports are gender diverse, and we are active recruiters at some of the the largest women's-only STEM college in the country. Whether it is racial diversity, and we have a very active program now with the historic black colleges, and we are proud to be one of the fastest-growing partners of them. Whether it is also diversity of thought. It's important to understand that IND is more than just gender and racial and culture diversity. It's also challenging to make sure that you have people that don't think like you and feel confident enough in your team where you can bring in that diversity of thought, the diversity of background, because working together and having different ideas is how you will be able to provide better services to each other, better services to our clients, and as well as just better services as a company. And it's an important thing to know that we can create an environment that no matter what your background is, no matter what your gender is, that you are in a position where you are able to maximize your personal potential. So the thing that really drives me every day is to know that with my son and my daughter, that they are going to have as much potential and much opportunity as they can deliver.
Thank you. Gail?
Good afternoon. I'm Gail Morris. I'm a VP of America Services Sales. So I'm in the front line of interfacing with our customers and with our partners. And it's really important to us as a company and as a team to really be able to relate to the experiences and the representation of those customers and partners from a diversity perspective. As all of my colleagues here, as you've heard, Cisco has a very, very big focus on inclusion and diversity, and it's part of our leadership discipline. And candidly, I can't really add that much more to what everyone else said here. It is important that you create a community and a team that approaches things and projects and opportunities from very different points of view. Diversity of thought, diversity of generation, diversity of ethnicity, and diversity of gender. So it's a passion, but it's also a leadership principle for me as well.
Erica?
So my name is Erica Strandell, and I'm based out of Denver, Colorado. So thanks for welcoming me to Boston and this awesome city. I am the director of solutions development, and I support in that realm, I support our global service provider customers. So the reason why inclusion and diversity is so important to me is because throughout my career, I've been involved in, you know, matrix management involving a lot of different functions and now a lot of different global experiences. And I've seen that the impact of the results that the teams that do have that diversity and can channel the initial conflict that comes from learning and organizing around all those diverse thoughts and who can really harness and connect that power are the ones that really produce the breakthrough results. And I guess to finalize that, I'd say I have a 6-year-old daughter, and I think that it's important, really important, to continue to make strides in this area.
Thanks, Erica, and thanks, panelists. So what we're going to do, we have some scripted questions that I'm going to ask the panel, but we're going to do the questions and then have questions from the audience. We're going to do it simultaneously. So I'm going to kick it off with a question to the panel. If you want to ask a question of the panel, obviously come up to the mics on either side. We'll take your question. We'll probably take two at a time so that the panel can think about it and then respond. So I'm going to throw out a first question. I'm going to start it with Seth since he's in the middle.
And question, he's the only man on the panel.
And he's the only male on the panel
and
as well.
And we can pick on him.
So what is the most significant personal growth experience for you in this area?
It's interesting you should answer that. At my former firm, one of my colleagues who has since passed away, Paul Beltis, for those of you in the Boston area, Paul looked like Santa Claus, but bigger. And he was a Southie, and when you looked at Paul, you would never go like, wow, you know, that's an IND champion. And Paul recruited me to my last firm back in 2005. And at that point in my career, as I was becoming a more senior executive, I asked Paul, I said, you know, why IND? Explain that to me. I mean, you look at your background, and he said, you know what, because I came from the environment where IND was frowned upon. For those of you that grew up in South Boston, you'd appreciate his comments. And he said, I never wanted to be like that. And I looked at my own background growing up on Long Island, and thankfully losing my accent, unlike my Boston counterpart, the important thing is that I didn't want to have the sort of environment and the sort of neighborhoods that I grew up in ever coming through to my kids or through the staff that I had the pleasure to work with and my colleagues, and just became very important to me. And I found him to be a real role model of helping not just transform my view, but really I aspired to live in his legacy.
Thank you. That's so South Boston, I grew up in Somerville, which is equivalent to South Boston and very similar experience. So I can definitely appreciate that story. Why don't we stick to that? And Ronnie, why don't you? I'm going to ask you the same question, and we'll get it from a woman's perspective this time.
So I talked about my initial reaction to diversity being gender diversity. And the transformation for me took place when I was invited to speak at the University of Southern California School of Business. I have an employee who's enrolled there in the MBA program, and they have a speaker series. And he asked me to come as a leader, and he was asking me to come as a female leader to show his MBA class what it was like to have women in leadership. And in the process of doing some research to talk to the class, I had a huge amount of material available to me. Cisco's great. They have an IND site. They post all of these studies. You can research all this material. And it became clear to me that the talk needed to be broadened, that it couldn't just be about gender. It had to be about multi-generational. It needed to be about different cultural backgrounds. And when I got there, I actually discovered in my initial interactions with the audience, it needed to first be around defining what is diversity, and then defining what is inclusion. And these MBA students were not the ones who come out of college and go straight to work. These people were coming from major corporations, and it was amazing to me, because I'm so immersed in the dialogue on a daily basis in Cisco, that we were first defining these terms in this MBA environment. So my growth came through, first of all, having to do the research and learn, and second of all, really coming to understand where the rest of the world is at. And then the third was, it sparked a fire in me. It just lit that passion where I felt like IND is really important, and we need to focus on it in order, not just for success for Cisco, but expand that to other places as well.
Thank you. So again, as you're walking in, if you'd like to ask a question, you can come up to the mics. Do you have a question?
I have a question.
Excellent. State your name and just ask the question, please.
Leslie Alger, and you've made a great case for the importance of inclusion and diversity. My question is, how do you make a workplace environment that fosters that, where every voice is heard, where different styles of leadership are recognized and celebrated?
You want to take that? It's similar to the question I was going to ask you.
Sure. I don't think there is any easy response to that. Every corporate environment has a different culture. You know, and some cultures will embrace it more, can change quicker, et cetera. I know I can speak from my personal experience in that when I see the team operating together and contributing and diverse views are valued and respected, we get a much better outcome. It may be a faster outcome. It may be a more profitable outcome. It may be a better customer satisfaction outcome. So I personally, as a leader, try to create an environment where inclusion is celebrated. So you exemplify the behaviors, and as a leader too, you push that up. You know, so if you're in an organization that you don't feel is embracing that inclusive behaviors, have examples to show, you know, that this is what's transpired when we've done this, you know, more in the front lines, right, or down in the field. I think when you're working for large public companies like we are at Cisco, there is a responsibility, right, to ensure that we have the right focus and teams on these types of efforts. But maybe in smaller organizations where maybe they're non-public, they're smaller, there isn't that focus, I think we as individuals need to start as a grassroots effort, get some examples, and then I'll say exploit them, you know, to get more people to understand and pay attention. I don't know if anyone else has any
I do have something to add. Just on a daily basis, I do think that there's things that leaders and individuals can do to help grab the ideas from everyone. As you mentioned, it works really well when you're hearing from everyone, and sometimes that's hard to do. So one of the things that we've tried to do is make sure when we're in a meeting forum that the communication is as even as possible, meaning that if everyone is on an audio call, then everyone is on an audio call. Or if everyone's on a video call, then everyone is on a video call. And we try to avoid the situation wherever possible where you have half the people in person in the room and half the people on a conference call, because then the people in the room have a louder voice than the people who are on the conference call. There's some tricks that we've done. There are some people who are more reticent to voice their opinion, and it doesn't mean that they don't have good ideas. So if you're in a meeting room together, one of the things that we've done is instead of asking people to raise their hand and share their ideas, is to just give people markers and have them write down their ideas all at the same time and then post them on the board so that no ideas get filtered out. Every idea is heard. And sometimes when you're coming to decisions, if you try to do it by consensus, again, the loudest voice gets heard. So instead of just letting the group work its way to a decision, you hold a vote. And for those of you that have taken advantage of the video conferencing technology in WebEx, you actually can ask people to raise their hand. So everyone's voting independently. So you really hear what the opinion is of the entire team rather than the one or two people that speak the loudest. You know, that's all facilitation, right? That's the leadership. But for those of you that are just participating, if you feel like someone's voice isn't being heard, like literally say, oh, Tom, we haven't heard from you. What are you thinking about this? You don't have to be the leader to invite other people to join in.
Okay. So staying on that topic, I'm going to go to you, Gail, because as a senior leader in the Americas, what do you do to ensure inclusion amongst your team?
Well, first of all, I think you have to live it and breathe it every single day and be very, very mindful of it. And it's interesting to lead a team where you started, I've been with Cisco almost 7 years, and I started with part of the team. There's part of the team that I have brought into the, some of them are here, brought into my direct reports, and some new team members that have come from outside the company. And it is... It is just so refreshing to see what happens as a team matures together and works together, but it's a lot of work to get that team dynamic and that inclusive, truly that inclusive behavior working together. So we use some tools, you know, and different companies have different things they leverage in different books and methodologies. We've used a program from a guy named Paul Burgess called Link Up, where we actually can, I don't want to say profile, but it does give you a very insightful set of analysis on yourself and what makes you tick, but also the framing so that your peers, your colleagues, your team members, your superiors can have some insight on what are your most dominant drives. And in that way, in working together as a team, we can tap into the talent and the collective talent of those people that have particular drives and be somewhat self-deprecating on the areas where you know you're weak. I am high on complete. And for anyone who's ever looked up Link Up, and if you haven't, it's a great thing to check it out, Google it. Paul Burgess is the guy who... who originally authored it. High complete means I like to complete everything. And that means I need a mental tick in the box. None of my direct reports are high complete. And we, and some of my direct reports are here now, and they're laughing as I'm saying this, because it is a constant set of healthy tension where I'm self-aware, I'm a high complete, and I don't need to get a check in the box on everything. And they're much more aware of how I approach an opportunity and the need to, quote-unquote, close the loop. There's lots of examples like that, Rob, but it is the dynamic that we've been able to create together, leveraging some things inside Cisco, some tools and practices outside Cisco, and being much more aware of what everyone else brings to the table.
Yeah, thank you. Erica, how about you? Given all the different roles that you've had at Cisco, how do you see inclusion working with the strategy that Cisco's driving?
So I have a couple of examples, and one of them actually came from before I was at Cisco. So this turnaround, business turnaround example isn't a direct reflection of Cisco's business and the climate. But early in career, I actually was part of a business turnaround. The company was going through bankruptcy, and the workforce was really, you know, disengaged, and it was kind of a toxic environment that had been built up over time. And I saw a brand new CEO come in, and I think this speaks to the importance of leadership and the vision at the top to drive that inclusion, and really came in and included every one of the employees into some brainstorming and formed us into teams. It was a fairly large organization, but he truly harnessed the power of so many of us to make the changes, drive the operational efficiency, and enact some pretty amazing cost recovery and cost savings to actually turn that company around. So that's one example. In my current role, where I'm very focused on innovation and building new things, right now I'm actually leading a team of executives within Cisco to trial some new ways to actually develop and include our customers better in the solutions that we develop. And we're using some concepts that are a little bit new to Cisco. And so through technology, actually, we are tapping into the power of this network even within the company and the background that we had no idea that we actually had, and the expertise. And the ideas that are coming out and the strategies that are actually informing the way that we bring new solutions to market is truly amazing. So it is truly the power of diverse ideas and backgrounds and experiences to be able to connect.
Thank you. Question?
Hi, my name's Carrie. I work here in Boston. And bear with me while I ask this question, because it sounds critical, but I really just want to dig into something that's hard, which is, it's strange to come to a panel on inclusion and diversity and have everyone be so racially homogenous. And I think that racial diversity is a tough nut to crack. It's hard. We don't do it very well in my organization. I'd like to do it better. I'm sure you guys have initiatives. I just wonder, can you talk about that and maybe why you see it as being so difficult, and if you do? And secondly, what are you doing about it, if anything?
I'll take that.
Go ahead, Seth.
So talking about racial diversity, and one of the programs that we've got right now is to say, if you notice before, we were talking around diversity is more than just gender diversity. Racial diversity in high tech is something that you have to have a very concentrated effort upon. So that's why, so for instance, the National Society of Black Engineers is headquartered out of Florida A&M University. We are now an active recruiter there, whether it's the National Black MBA Association, or frankly, it's an untapped asset in the HBCs is what they're called, the historical black colleges, Spelman, Grambling, Morehouse, Howard, a few others. And those are the Ivy League campuses where we're able to go and get very diverse populations. One of the problems that large companies can run into, really any company, is when you talk about diversity, diversity doesn't mean hiring more Harvard grads or hiring more Oxford grads or more MIT grads. It means changing where it is that you recruit. So one of the strategies that we have, which has actually been very successful in getting new populations, not because they're racially diverse, but because they're qualified candidates and we're able to tap into them, is targeting those universities and schools that are traditionally not targeted. So for instance, when we go to Florida A&M, and we can now go hire some of the best engineers, first engineers in the country, that happen to be from diverse backgrounds, that's a win-win for everybody. When we go to Smith College and hire half the engineering class, which is the only women's STEM program in the country, and are told that they like our position more than Google's around how we're going to do IND, It is a behavior that is learned that you must act upon that just doesn't happen. So it doesn't mean I'm going to go to the same schools and try to go find a diverse candidate. It means I'm going to go and go to schools that have a lot of diverse candidates and be able to go to schools that we can go get folks. And even for folks that are later stage career, how do we get working moms back into the workforce? How do we bring in people that have expertise to us in other populations that are not served as well as others? That is a active program that we have. And our goal is to be one of the most diverse technology companies on the face of the earth.
And I want to just respond, not to be defensive, because I see the profile here. If I look at my direct reports, 2 out of 6 of my direct report managers are African American. 1 out of 4 of my direct report project managers are African American, and 1 out of 4 of my technical leaders that report directly to me are African American. I don't have the numbers for the broader organization, but if you were to sit at my leadership table, I think it's represented disproportionately to the broader population. It's kind of skewed because I can say we don't have other cultures represented, like we you know, not there in the engineering ranks and other parts of our organization. So I think sometimes we have to look at it in an aggregate and maybe, to your point, be more sensitive when we're representing ourselves at a forum on diversity to be a little more diverse.
Thank you. Question?
Hi, my name is Meryl Kramer. Thank you very much. It sounds an awful lot like you guys are doing a lot of things very right, which is wonderful to hear and hear about. I also appreciate that you mentioned some age diversity, too, because I think that there's an awful lot of populations out there that are not necessarily recruited. I really like the way you said that. It's a change in modeling. My question is about what can we do worldwide, not just within your industry? What are the innovations that we can do to sort of fan the flames? You guys have a great start on this. You're doing some things really wonderfully right. How can we help that catch on in other industries? We heard, you know, that some industry cultures are very resistant. Well, we know that. How can we take what's working for you, build on that, certainly, but also build on that across the board?
I'll jump in for a quick answer. Of a loss for a word, but I can tell you in the roles that I've played, I've actually seen us lead inclusion and diversity as a part of our conversation with our customers. Not even to go in and sell them something, just to talk about inclusion and diversity, what Cisco as a company has done, where we've invested, and opened up a whole other avenue with those particular customers to say it does add value, it brings a lot back to the company, and it opens many doors, and it's kind of like paying it forward. You know, we're not here to sell you anything. We just want to talk to you. Do you have an IND ambassador? Do you have an IND chief? How do we sit down with them? Talk about what you're doing in your corporation versus what Cisco's doing and kind of get the best practices. But, it's a slow effort. It's one at a time. But it's something that I've witnessed over the last 15 years at Cisco. Anybody else?
Yeah, one other comment on that is, a lot of times our customers ask us not only to share the best practices around IND, but how we are leveraging typically our technology to promote inclusion and diversity. So Erica had mentioned it, Cisco has a broad suite of collaboration tools, right? And those collaboration tools are to reach all of our diverse talent around the globe to get to the most optimal decision for the company. Our customers, at least in the enterprise space, come to us very often and say, okay, technology is a piece of driving inclusion and diversity. How do we better leverage it, whether it's on, Cisco network, Cisco gear or not?
We would like it to be on Cisco.
Yes, we would like it to be, but to Rob's point around, we're not selling. We are really sharing best practices, and we actually do have a board, a collaboration board, of promoting inclusion and diversity. So those are some areas that we are trying to broaden the reach than just within our four walls.
Question. Suzette.
Yes. Suzette Clinton, I'm from MIT. And my question for you, at Cisco, do you guys have employee resource groups or affinity groups? And how do you leverage those groups to help in your D&I initiatives?
Okay.
I can take a stab at it. We actually do. I think we have 7 employee resource groups, whether it be, LGBT, women, minorities, African Americans.
Early
I think
in career.
Early in career. And, all I can say is that one way I've actually just started actually leveraging that because I'm building a new team and looking out for resources and looking out for, more diversity than I have previously in some previous roles. And so I actually just reached out to them with an email about some, 3 new key leadership positions within my group actually to go solicit and get candidates through that network back into my role. So I think those employee and those affinity groups are very active. That's one example that I've actually just now used.
And we connect those groups to our teams and our businesses through IND Champion. So every team inside Cisco has an inclusion and diversity champion. It's not your day job, it's your extra job, but it's not a job, it's a passion. And the champions we have inside our organization help connect the great work that our employee resource groups do to the opportunities we have, whether it be professional opportunities or opportunities to connect on innovation and initiatives inside the company.
Question?
So my name is Kelly. I'm getting an MBA for a career change, and you all mentioned that you look for diversity in background and thought. So how do you encourage recruiting to not just pass off somebody because it's so easy to just apply through the internet with a very different background than the skills needed?
Go first, and then I have a thought question. Right. We probably are going to say the same thing, but go ahead.
Then
I'll be a first.
Wow.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say
because we're diverse.
I was going to say it's really cool in here. So here's my perspective. What I hire in consulting, what I'm going after, are people that have great analytic minds. I actually don't care what your college degree in. Mine was in poli sci. So for instance, for fresh college grads, my barrier to entry is you have a 3.25 GPA. And why isn't it a 3.5? Because everyone makes mistakes in their first semester of college. I really care if you make a mistake in your third year of college. But what I really want are people that have great analytic minds that have diversity of thought in what it is that they're doing. It's great, we want them to know technology, but we're not necessarily hiring quote-unquote technologists. For those that are more experienced hires, what we're looking for is a track record of success. How can your skills help deliver better services to our clients that we're delivering as well? Because in consulting, we need people that have diversity of background, not just from an IND perspective, but literally have worked in different companies. If all we did was hire from a consulting shop or a technology shop, our value offering that we would offer to our clients is actually fairly low. So from our recruiting, we actually look specifically for people that have skill sets that we're trying to fill.
And just to follow on, and very similar thought from Seth's perspective I have, in that, when we have our recruiting teams work on bringing in new talent, there are often times we're very purposeful about not recruiting exactly to this profile or this profile or this profile, which is the same profile they may have recruited, for the past 5 years. And sometimes, as leaders, we can be very prescriptive on what we want, and we do that quite a bit. And it enables us to capture talent from a broad base of industries that don't just come from networking companies, as Seth pointed out, that come at, our customers' opportunities from a variety of perspectives.
We're going to have one more question.
Okay. So, one, I want to congratulate you. I'm Shauna Ferguson. I'm aware of some of your diversity initiatives. We play in the same space.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you a little bit. I would love to hear your perspective on retention. So when we think of the concept of inclusive leadership and moving people from the middle to the next level of leadership, what I think would be really impactful for us to hear is what are you doing both inside Cisco to help leaders kind of move through the next level of leadership, and what personal commitments have you guys done to give maybe the junior leaders in your organization those type of next level opportunities? Thank you.
So I don't know that there's a Cisco-wide program, but given the
broader direction that we're given and the goals that are laid out. I think that we each probably have examples of things that we've done. So I'm really proud to say that this past Monday, we announced 3 development manager position assignments. People in the organization who were not in management roles were given the opportunity to apply for these positions. So there was an understanding that they would not have the experience. And the 3 people that were selected are going to receive a mentor. They're going to have a development plan, 3-month and 6-month. And at the end of the 6 months, if they've proven successful and this is the track that they want to take, they literally will have their job changed to what they're in now as an individual contributor to a manager. And they are each set up to take over a team and have the direct reports transfer to them at that point in time. So it's something new that we haven't done before. And the great thing about it is that it wasn't planned this way. It just worked out. But we do have 2 out of the 3 individuals that would be considered diversity candidates that otherwise might not have had the opportunity to go into management because they don't have the established track record.
And I'd say more broadly for the company, to the question on, you know, how do we develop our leadership teams early in career, mid-career, and later in the career, we do have structured and formal programs that capture our leadership high potential in early days to help them progress. And it includes a broad spectrum of learning and education, both, you know, on-site, classroom, Cisco leader-led, external leader influence, as well as a pretty prescriptive executive shadowing and mentoring program as well. And I've been at Cisco for 7 years, and like Seth, we've both worked at different high-tech companies or in and around this industry. I will tell you that this company has the most significant commitment to leadership development, starting with first-line managers all the way up through our directors, senior directors, and executives.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. So are those inclusive leadership capabilities built into all those programs, or is it kind of at the top?
Well, if your question is the focus on inclusion and diversity and inherent in those programs, absolutely. Okay. Is there a focus on diversity and accelerating our diverse leaders? Absolutely. So the answer is yes and yes.
Yes and yes is good.
Yeah. I think yes and yes is great.
All right. So we're going to wrap up with one final thought from each of the panelists. One word, one sentence, what type of advice you'd give to the crowd. Everybody? Crowd.
Come on, crowd. You guys hosted here.
Can we get the wave?
We like this crowd. All right. Suzette was first in the room.
Lindley, why don't you go first?
Well, one, we do want to thank you. We're thrilled that we even got an audience being in the farthest room away.
And at the end of the day.
And it's freezing.
It's going. Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're like up here freezing. I would say, don't leave inclusion up to your leaders. We all own it. We all can give the feedback. We can all be transparent. We can all call things out. So we all own that to our organizations.
Ronnie?
Yeah, so congratulate yourselves for coming here, that you're looking to learn more about how to leverage inclusiveness as a competitive advantage. And I did read a book this year, The Loudest Duck by Laura Liswood, I believe. And it really does a great job of showing how people from different cultures and backgrounds interact in the work environment. And I highly recommend it if you haven't read it.
Seth?
Only you own your career. I've had thousands of people work for me in my career, and I'm very fortunate to be able to have done that. And that's advice I give to all of them. So when we say only you own your career, I don't mean necessarily from the lean-in perspective, but take responsibility and ownership of your career. Make sure that you're putting your hand up for those extra efforts that are required to be successful. Make sure that if you're not comfortable with how something's headed, that you take the risk and you say, you know what, I'm not comfortable how something's headed. Make sure you're aware of the resources that are available to you. And if they're not available to you, ask why aren't they available. But it's very important to understand that you're responsible for your own career.
And if there's support that you need from whether it's Cisco or other employers that you're with or other areas, raise your hand. Be part of the solution. As one of my mentors told me, which is the most important thing I've ever heard, be a doctor, not a patient.
I was reflecting on how we started out today, and I did you guys love John Jacob, Life is Good?
Oh,
he was
yeah,
so inspiring.
He was awesome.
Wasn't he inspiring? You know, and it's very easy to be the patient, Seth, and it's very easy, I agree, to, you know, be a victim. Life is good. You know, grab it. Grab it. We have a great opportunity. Just capture it and harness it. So be aggressive. Drive inclusion for yourself and drive it for your peers and drive it for your company.
Erica?
So I would say sometimes random acts of inclusion can be a true gift. So when you receive one of those, recognize it publicly and then pay it forward because it creates tremendous energy.
Awesome. Thank you all to the panelists. We want to thank the attendees for coming out. When you go back out into the hallways, tell your friends they've missed a great session.
That was not sold out.
But we appreciate everybody showing up and participating in the conference. Enjoy the rest of your day.